Well, it feels good to be on this part of the stage, I'll tell you what. I'm usually stuck behind a keyboard, got a guitar around my neck. But today, I give some of my opinions, all right? Give some of my hot sports opinions today, so I'm going to tell you how it's going to go down today. No, I really love what I do here, but we're talking about something today that is very near and dear to my heart, so I'm just going to be facilitating today. And that is the hard work of relationships, and specifically the fact that when we come into trouble in relationships, when there's interpersonal hang-ups, when I have to deal with your bad habits, and you have to deal with my ugly past and the mistakes I've made and all of that junk, usually, I would say 100% of the time, there's an opportunity there for us to grow. It is our tendency to back away and say, well, you stay over there with all your messes and I'm going to go find somebody else to hang around. But when we get close to one another, when we get in the same pot together and say, we are both enemies of the things that are attacking you and we're both enemies of the stuff that's in me that needs to come out, what happens is incredible growth. And so there's a huge, huge opportunity that happens there. What is this Sunday? So Friday night, I went out with a couple of friends and we're in the car, and between this husband and wife, a little tiff breaks out and there are some crosswords in the car. I'm sitting there, you know, like you do, like I'm not here. I'm somewhere else. And, they have words, and a little later, you know, things calm down and there's some apologies in the car. Sorry that you had to be here for that. And I said, you know, where I'm at right now is that I'm incredibly excited to be here right now because I understand that when junk starts coming up on the table, we're at a good place. And may I even say, if you have long-term relationships, if your closest relationships in your life are not relationships where your junk is coming out and where your friend's junk is coming out, it ain't deep enough. Your relationships aren't close enough. Because that's really what God has planned in our relationships, is that there's supposed to be some sanding that happens between us. And I'm going to have to bear up with your stuff, and you're going to have to bear up with my stuff. I'm going to look at a couple of verses from the book of Proverbs. Survey says, Proverbs 17:17. I always want to do that, and so I did it. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I thought brothers were born so that we could fill up the room when my kid has his first birthday party. You know, I thought so that I could always get Christmas cards. No, a brother is born for adversity. So what was happening for me in the car, and I said this out loud later, was that I was thinking, boy, things are getting good here. So I know that this is my time to step up. This is the reason I'm in this relationship, because hard times are coming, even if it's just a little thing. And when my friends are dealing with their character flaws, or when my friends are going through hard times in their life, that's when I just want to step up and go, I'm here. This is what I was made for. This is why we're in relationship with each other. And I tell you, when hard times have come my way in my life, I find out real quick who my brothers are, as opposed to those people who just have a smile plastered on their faces. How are you doing? I'm fine. How are you? Doing fine. Okay, great. We might as well not have talked. Bye. I'd much rather have the real relationships. A brother is born for adversity. Let me encourage you to be a brother in your friends' lives. And let me encourage you to identify who the brothers are in your life. A friend loves at all times. I don't need any more people who are just pleasant and are there every once in a while when things nice and we want to go on vacation with someone. I want someone who's going to be there at all times. Next verse is also in Proverbs 17. He who covers over an offense promotes love. Now, you can promote love by remembering anniversaries and giving little gifts. That's a nice way to promote love. Patting a back during when somebody gets a promotion, that's great. But another way to promote love, according to this verse, is that you get so tight in relationship that you get offended by your friends. You get offended, and then you cover over that offense with grace and with dealing with them in forgiveness. And then you will promote love, and the whole watermark of love will rise up in that relationship. That sounds exciting to me. We're going to illustrate these principles that it's not good to just have everything nice all the time, that it's really good when some of our junk comes out on the table. We're going to illustrate this stuff by having a couple people on stage and interview them. It's important for us, we're going to be talking to a guy from South Africa here this morning. So it's important for us to, some of you love South Africa. So it's important to us that everybody here understands the history of our relationship with Titus and with the church that we relate to in South Africa. So we're going to show you a video that'll just walk you really quickly through the history of our relationship. And while that happens, we long to promote love, not only by offending one another, but in a lot of different things that we do around here, like inner city literacy programs, and by doing things like getting involved in Sri Lanka. Some of you heard about that recently. And that stuff costs money, and cashola. And so we get that dough through donations. And if you want to give, this is your opportunity to give. This little bag's going to come down your aisle. And if that's weird to you, just act like you didn't see it. You can just go, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm watching the video up here. So here we go.
Emmanuel event, this is a national event. The whole country is gonna know what you guys will be doing this coming week. So my family is staying with my mom, and I've been staying alone in there for quite some time. So I'm so pleased to have my own roof and my family in my house.
I think it's very positive. You helped us because most of the people need the green vegetables for the guys and the fresh ones.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
So I could say thank you very much for what you did for the community.
It is in those words, that I also want to welcome our friends from the United States. And even if it is just for one or two contributions in our city here in Mamelodi with the Mamelodi community, we are very grateful, and may God bless you all.
Blessed are the feet of those who bring the good news.
Because you see, when it's
okay, so, yes. Good times. Tim Seneff, why don't you come up here? Tim is our number one contact around here. He's our reach out director, and he's our number one contact with South Africa. We're going to be talking to him today.
Hey.
And then it's my pleasure to introduce again, hailing all the way from Mamelodi, South Africa, our pastor and partner, Titus Atole. Yeah! Hi. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
A standing ovation.
Wow.
Local celebrity.
They really, really like you.
Thank you.
Now, we're going to get back to what I was talking about and that Proverbs 17 talks about and the kind of trouble that comes from deep relationships, because we have had trouble. Our two groups have had trouble, and you two guys have had trouble. And we're going to talk about that and how that's produced some of the great fruit that we've seen here. Before we do that, I just want to give you some time, Titus. I know that we would love to have any sort of update you can give us. What's been happening in your neck of the woods since April? Because the last time that I saw you was in South Africa. Love to know what's going on.
Well,
I'd love to just bend this also.
Okay, thank you.
About right there.
Thank you. It's good
because
to
I want you to be, because we have a step aerobics class you're going to be leading later, and I want that thing to be just right for you.
Well, it's good to be back.
Just pretend like you didn't say that.
Yeah,
stuff.
That's what he does.
A lot is happening in South Africa since you guys, some of you, came over. After the Go Mamelodi team, I received a phone call to go to the presidency to meet with the deputy president and... But then I met with a special advisor saying that we have seen what you guys, you know, our church and Crossroads have been doing. And then they said, we want you to, your organization, meaning our church, they want to give us a technical school with about 800 residency to run for them. Because of what they saw us do, hosting you guys and doing all that, they figured it out that we are capable to run that place. And so, I said, well, we've got so much that we are doing here. Why don't you come and see what we are doing? You know, and also, you know, the people whom we built houses for, they have now moved in those houses. And these are the people that in the million years, they wouldn't have had the money, the skill, all that it takes to build a house. And so now they own a house. And so they are very much grateful. As well as those that we planted gardens for, they now started harvesting their gardens. Awesome. And with the hospice, we started taking in patients now, and the work is just growing. And after you guys left, an old lady came to my office and said, Titus, I saw you on television building houses for the needy. And she said, I came here to ask you to build us a church, to build us a church building. And I said, well, the Americans have left. You're too late. So I said, well, maybe next time. Cheers. Bye. So she left. And then after 2 weeks, I was praying and having my time with the Lord. And I sensed that God was saying, Titus, you got to build a church for Emmanuel Assemblies of God. I don't have her contact. I don't know where she lives. And so I had to rely on the Holy Spirit to locate her house. And so when I found her trying to get details and said, well, our pastor is late and, you know, there are a lot of elderly people belong to that church and some younger people. We wanted to build a building. And when I thought about it, that, you know, people have asked me for a lot of things, but no one has ever asked me to put a building for them, a church building. And so, now you guys came back here and you left me with a lot of troubles. And so I said, well, in September, we're going to come and put the building. So I said to them, how much do you have? How much do you have? They said, well, we have 4,000, which is about maybe something like $800. That's what we have. And so we are trusting God that in September, we're going to put a building for that church. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of things began to happen. And the most important thing that is happening with our church is that what we are doing at charity is the first of its kind in the whole country, in the sense that the ministry we do, we're doing quite a lot of things apart from hospice. It is done by the people for the people. The idea, the vision came from the township. Now, the whole of the country, there are a lot of organizations that are doing a great work, but most of it is people from outside, either white people from the suburbs coming to help, United Nations, and the idea is not from within. And so this is unique in the whole country, that we have seen the needs of unemployment, addressing them without government involvement. And so with you guys have made us champions. So you came and you did what you did, and all the glory stayed with us.
Okay. Those pops are my fault. Let me work on that. Mm-hmm. That was my fault. That was my fault. I did that.
Well, it's my ear is too big, so.
Okay, now that's some of what we're hearing here is the fruit of the relationship between our two groups, and in a lot of ways it's the fruit between these two guys sitting here. So I'd like to hear more about the history of your relationship, and Tim, would you start us off with like how things started out between you and Titus?
Yeah, you know, we see the videos and it all is very powerful, and that, like Stephen said, is the fruit, but everything isn't always as it seems. In fact, Titus's accent, he just makes that stuff up just to sound eloquent.
He's actually from Detroit.
Right.
Ah, wow.
It's all smoke and mirrors. Our relationship started between Crossroads and Charity about 2.5 or 3 years ago, right when I first started on staff. And this is not something at all that I'm proud to admit, but when this relationship started, I didn't fully trust Titus. I didn't fully trust him. I had been given some misinformation about him. And so I was kind of in a defensive posture, a little suspicious. And that's how the relationship started. And, you know, that's always a great way to start a relationship, right? I mean, just from this foundation to trust. You know, when I first started dating my wife, Mary, I had a background check ran on her.
Yeah,
so,
good.
You know, it's really, it's just part
of my
mojo.
Like, you're pretty much a real jerk.
And this is all for your growth, okay, me, Aaron, all this. No, so that was the deal, just to be honest.
Okay, so you started out with distrust based on bad information with Titus. Titus, how did things begin with you towards Tim?
Well, let me just go back a little bit.
Great.
Started relationship with Brian about 6 years ago. And the first time I came to Crossroads, it was when you guys were still at the school. And then coming, you know, in the other building, meeting with the staff, I really felt loved, accepted, respected. And, you know, coming from apartheid background where I was discriminated against and where, you know, black was no good and, you know. And so, but when I came here, I didn't really feel like, almost feel like a black person. I felt like a human being, you know, treated like a human being. And so, I started the relationship with trust. I trusted, I opened up, because of what I've been through. It would have been really difficult for me to trust again. especially the white people. You know, even those in the churches, when they're in church, hi, brother, but after church, you know, they treat you like a black person. They treat you like, you know, we have seen it happening before our eyes. I've been a victim of discrimination within the church circles. But then when I came here, I really never had that sense. So I started on, you know, trust. But then when Tim came...
Enter jerk.
So when Tim came, you know, started asking questions and checking me out, and he took me back to apartheid time. And I began to be skeptical. And so that's kind of how it happened. But I trusted that I started the relationship on trust and openness, and until, you know, when he came given misinformation.
Yeah. Okay, one thing I just want to say is that when you're hearing the story, we don't want to just be observers like, oh, that's a very interesting that happened between them. I want us to be thinking about how what was happening in here might happen in our relationships. And I think specifically for me, I hear a lot of marriage stuff in the way that these guys talk. One entered with some distrust. Titus was open, but when he went into an atmosphere of distrust, he got repelled, and he started to think, well, maybe I should protect myself as well. Maybe what we need is some distance. So these guys start this dance where they're trying to negotiate and trying to protect, and now we're going to be in a weird place from there on out. Doesn't sound very good. What happens from there?
Well, for you guys who are new, we're doing something now called the Crazy Campaign, which was a spiritual journey we all went on to help build this facility and do some work in the inner city of Cincinnati, produce a website, and also have a major South Africa component. Mamelodi, the township where Titus is from, is a township of 1 million people. 30 to 40% of the people are HIV positive. And the thing is, the church in South Africa has not been dealing with it at all. And Titus said, that's wrong. That's wrong. People with HIV/AIDS, they're close to God's heart, and therefore they need to be close to our heart. And so I want to build a hospice to care for them. And we said, great, great. Let's include that as part of our capital campaign, and let's help fund this. And so we did. Well, when we agreed on that, it was $250,000. But from the time we agreed to that to the time we actually paid the money, the dollar plummeted, exchange rates went really bad, and we were in a position where the building was not being built as in the tempo that we had expected, and we were still waiting on that money. And so Titus said, hey, Tim, you know, will you guys consider making up that exchange rate? And for us, some of this mistrust came up, and we started thinking, I don't know. And just to be totally honest, this was a time for me. This was kind of one of those true color moments for me, where I said, listen, I have actually gone to South Africa. I've built relationship with Titus, and I've gotten to see that some of this misinformation that I was fed is not true. And I actually trust this guy. And so you know what? This is something I think we need to do. I think we need to make up this exchange rate, and I think we need to honor him and do this. And in fact, we need to build the second floor of the hospice. And so for me, I recognize that I had wronged Titus, and we had, and we needed to make that right. And so that's kind of how that whole thing played out.
Okay, so when there's this, going through this exchange rate trouble, and there's not as much money, or our money isn't coming through as much as we thought it would, what's going on with you, Titus?
Well, what was going on with me was I felt like I've been used here. Because you have to remember that it was a different deal in the sense that Crossroads was not just going to give the 250,000, but I had to come here and speak, you know, which means I, you know, participated in, you know. And so when I was told that, you know, we gave you the money and possibly you might have ate the money or, you know, misused the funds and we cannot give you more, and I cannot complete the building because the money that at the time about the exchange rate would have helped a lot. And so I felt like I'm not trusted here, and more so that, you know, Crossroads, they raised more than what they expected, you know, and also our, you know, ministry and hospice being part of it. And Crossroads is fussy about, you know, paying the difference. And the other thing that also made me feel like pulling out of this relationship and not really being taken seriously was the fact that we were to get a building constructor, a construction company to build, which we were going to pay the company. But then because of the resources were not that much, I took it upon myself to be the main contractor. You know, I ordered, I supervised, I did, and then Crossroads was not willing to pay me for what I'm working, but then they are willing to pay the constructor. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like, Titus, think you're dealing with white people again. You know, coming from apartheid. You know, that's how we were so abused and so used. And I felt like pulling out of this relationship altogether. And so while I was, you know, considering it, feeling so bad about how am I suspected and all that, then I came over here to Crossroads, which was the turning point.
Okay. Now, first of all, this whole Crossroads thing, these guys sound like a bunch of jerks to me, the way that they're acting. Not interested in that scene at all. But one thing I think that bears repeating is that at different times, both of you felt like, I don't know that this is the right thing. Maybe we just need to pull out of this deal altogether. And all the stuff that, you know, with these little beautiful little images we see on the screen would never have come about. Because when trouble comes, there's a fleshly tendency that I just want to hit the door. I just want to back out. And both of these guys went through that with each other, thinking, maybe I don't want to be a part of this at all. But at some point, they made a decision, no, you know what, I'm in. I'm here. And I'm going to stay, and we're going to see this through, and we're going to work this out. Now, that's good for every marriage to hear, because we're all going to be offended and disappointed and all that junk, and we need to hear that once you've made a decision, hey, these are my colors, and I'm going to be here, then you can work through, and everybody grows from it. So we're going to hear some of the like good resolution that happened. What happened after that?
Yeah, and you know, when I was thinking of pulling out, we needed money to build a hospice, but respect and trust was more important than money for us, especially for me. That if we are to build this, we have to build it on trust. And so when I came to Crossroads, I was at a staff meeting, and Brian, who is the senior pastor here, stood up in a meeting and said, Titus, we are very sorry of how we treated you, how we have took conclusions with bad information, and this is the situation. This is what led us to be so. And, you know, for the very first time, you know, to have a white man, white person just, you know, coming from apartheid again, saying I'm sorry. That to me was a huge thing. And then, you know, and the rest of the team, they spoke. And their restoration and reconciliation took place. Mm. I forgave, and then I also understood, you know, from where they were coming from. And also with some of the, you know, how I sort of overreacted and, you know, took things again. I said, well, I'm also sorry for my reaction. And right there and then we reconciled. And then we had to do it with Tim. So maybe can...
Yeah. Yeah, that was a powerful moment, you know, in that meeting. Brian said, Titus, in our relationship, Crossroads and Charity, we've seen the best of Crossroads and we've seen the worst of Crossroads. And we don't want fear and suspicion to rule this anymore. We trust you. And there was some real healing organizationally, and it was powerful. But I said, there's been a division, Titus, in our friendship. And so I pulled him aside, and I said, you need to understand that I'm ashamed and I'm sorry. And will you forgive me, please? And he did. And so that to me, seeing him say, yes, I do, and in the Titus accent, let's do it, you know, let's get it on now. That's behind us and let's move. And that was a beautiful thing. And I think our friendship has gone to a new place since then.
Yeah, I remember that meeting, and I didn't know any of this backstory. I had no idea what was happening. I was just like, oh, okay, great. I don't know. Great. Just repentance and apologies. That's good enough for me. I don't know what, have any idea what the hell happened here, but that's great. It's good. So, now you, up to this point, you come out smelling like a rose. Have you ever failed us in any way? I mean, come on.
Make it personal with me or something. Yeah. Steve in the school.
Well, when the Go Mamelodi team was in South Africa, the last day, which was on Thursday, they were to have dinner at the hotel. And I felt that I wanted them to have dinner in Mamelodi with the host families. And so I got a caterer to cater for the event, which let me down. So I told her, by 5 p.m., the meals must be ready. And so 5 p.m., they were still barbecuing, and they were still... And so when I have people move from the church to the tent where we are going to have dinner, they were still fixing up and stuff like that. It's good for Africa, because in Africa, an event, you know, starts when we're ready, not when it's time.
It's called Africa time.
So I think they went on African time, and I was working on proper time. And so, you know, we kind of, there's no hurry in Africa. You know, so as I say, an event is, you know, it starts when everybody's there, mm-hmm. not when it's time. Mm-hmm. And an event is over when we're done, not when it's time.
Right.
So, and so I felt so bad because, you know, as organizer and, you know, and I've given them the time, I felt so bad. And I can't.
Yeah, let me cut in on this. So,
because the food wasn't ready. I don't know if we're illustrating that enough.
Yeah.
Because there's 600 people standing there going, where's the chow?
Okay, this is fun making talk, but it's 10 o'clock and I'm hungry. And so Titus comes to me and he just says, Tim, I am so sorry. And not only am I sorry, I want to make this right. And so he orders about 743 pizzas. The pizza store was like, you want how many pizzas? And so seeing him come to me, and not just come to me, but make it right, that was another example. We said, we're in partnership. And we both screw up, and ours may be way more ridiculous than yours, but we both say, hey, I screwed up, and I want to make this right. And that was another example where I think the friendship went to a new level.
Yeah, so the sort of arc that I see happening in this relationship is that this trust is how things start out. Then there's some brokenness and some confession and some humility. Then we get to the place that not only are we trusting this guy, but around the whole Go Mamelodi thing and with the building and everything, we're really submitting to him, really trusting his leadership and coming up underneath him. And we very much felt on the ground during the trip in April that this is the guy leading, that Tim is acting as his emissary to our group, but this is the guy running the show. And so I really feel like that was such a neat kind of a healing arc that we were on. And then other minor problems have happened since then, like at the Bry. And when those kind of things happen, there's no fear, because there's just an immediate, you know what, I think I screwed up on this one. I need to take responsibility. I blew it. Hey, that's okay. And now there's just this mutual forgiveness and grace that's in there. And let me say this very clearly. We're going to continue to have problems with this man. Okay? Because we're from different places. We're all just people. He's going to fail us at some things, and we're going to fail him at some things. And that is in no way going to stop us from doing what we feel called to do. We are going to continue to progress forward. We're going to continue to partner with them, receive from these guys, give to them where we can. We're going to continue to march forward with them. And we're not stupid that we think that there aren't going to be any more problems. Oh, good thing we got over that distrust thing. Now we can go and everything's going to be perfect. Well, what will happen if we do that? Again, we'll just act like, oh, well, I thought everything was going to be perfect. No, it's not going to be perfect. We believe that if we cover over an offense, we will promote love. And that's what these guys know about each other, is that they want to promote love. So that's how it's going to look for us from this day forward. When you hear more from this guy, are you pleased that we're going to continue forward with him? I certainly am. Yes, yes. Now, Tim, could you tell us a little bit more about what progressing with Titus is going to look like?
Yeah, you know, Go Mamalodio 6 was an amazing experience and changed, I think, not just the people who went, but really the fabric of our church. And so we're pumped about something big that we got a video on. So let's check that out.
All right.
Let's go to where the hurt is. Let's go where we can give. Let's go to where they need us. Let's go to where they live. Let's go.
And I personally made sure all those trailer comments made it in the video because I don't want to answer 17,000 emails over the next month.
What else?
We have, in addition to Go Mamalodi, we got a lot of really cool stuff that's happening behind the scenes that I think would pump you guys up to know about. We've got things like our medical team, which is partnering with Hospice of Cincinnati, the largest hospice provider in our city, to say, hey, let's make the charity hospice a beacon. Let's make it a best-in-class model. We've got folks who are starting businesses. There is high, high unemployment there. And we said, hey, we want to help provide a living wage for people, very decent, honest wage, and then use some of those profits to help the hospice operate on an ongoing basis. We've got things like beatedhope.com, where women who are HIV positive, who would have no other source of income, make handmade beadwork, jewelry and things, and we're selling that. We're doing tons of different stuff. But here's the cool thing. Those are ways that we're giving. When we go, we think we go to give, but we're actually the ones who receive. And I think back to the time when last summer Charity's worship team came here, and man, they just schooled us and taught us about what it means to be abandoned in worship. When we were over there, I saw these uptight white business guys jumping up and down, dancing, and I'm like, what has happened to our church? And you know, it's this thing where we go and we go to give. But we receive. We go to bring change, we think, and we're changed. And so that's this beautiful thing, a partnership, that we want to offer the resources we have. And Charity says, hey, we got resources, and so we're in a receiving posture too. So it's this kind of two-way thing.
Great. So watch this space, and there'll be more information forthcoming about that trip next summer. And Titus, while we've got you here, we want to squeeze every drop of wisdom out of you we can. So would you... is there anything that you want to say to us in, you know, last 10%?
Yes, I want to throw a challenge to all of you. I know many of you, you want to experience God in a unique way. And I want to show you how you can. The only way, no, not the only way, one other way of experiencing God is to move out in faith, in obedience, and God is going to show up as you move out. In the book of Luke 17, the Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. It talks about 10 leprous men who came to Jesus to heal them, to cleanse them from their leprosy. And Jesus said, you go to the priest and let them examine you. The priests were the ones who examined the people before they excommunicated them. They were the ones to say, you can live here, you okay or you're not okay. So they've got leprosy, and they left from Jesus towards the priest, and as they were going, the Bible says they were cleansed. The man left with a word from the Lord that go, you will be cured as you are going. And they experienced healing, cleansing on their way to obedience. And so if we are to experience God in our marriages, in our lives, businesses, in whatever dream we have, we will have to step out even when we don't have everything figured out, everything together. Many people, they want to step out when they know the end, how it's going to turn out to be. And that's why they don't experience the power and God's intervention. Jesus puts it this way. He said, go ye into the world and preach the gospel. And lo, I will be with you. As we go, that's when God is going to empower us. And I want to encourage you, if you have a dream, you have a word from the Lord, or you have passion to help the poor, to do something, or to start a particular ministry, a lot of people will wait until they have figured it out, until they have everything together. And that's when they want to start to go. Ladies and gentlemen, I've learned that God clarifies things in the midst of obedience. When we obey, when we take the first few steps, that's when God is going to show up, open doors, and so on. Even our relationship with Crossroads, Charity and Crossroads, a lot is being clarified when we started moving. It was never until we started taking the step of faith that things began to unfold. And so I want to encourage you, if you are trusting God for healing, just start somewhere. Step out and go and think of somebody who might be in a worse situation. Pray for the person. So, you know, what you are trusting God to harvest. And so that's the challenge I want to pose to all of us, is that God is going to intervene. God is going to show up. But he'll not do it until we start to take the first few steps. And may the Lord bless you. Hmm.
Thanks, Titus. I just want to say here in closing again that what I want to learn from hearing this story is I want it to be grounded to me even more. That I want to have friendships that are so deep that gunk starts coming out in the wash, that I don't hide my hang-ups and my mistakes and my flaws. I don't want to hide those. I want to be real. That's when change happens, is if we're real with one another. And I want to invite people also to be real with me. And if we will cover over an offense, what happens? Love is promoted. Again, that's Proverbs 17. Love is promoted when we cover over an offense. So, man, I'm so glad about the relationship that these two guys have together. Let's stand together and pray. And we're going to pray for Titus, too, while we got him with us. God, I just pray for this guy. And I know that he is a shepherd for just a large group of people in Mamelodi. And so we ask that you would speak to him very clearly. He would always know the timbre of your voice. And that everything that he touches, because it's led by you, would just turn to gold. And, you know, I think about this this government position that he was just recently offered to help, you know, do building stuff around. And he knows that he has to let that pass. That's not what he was made to do. So I ask that everything that comes across his plate, he would have a clear yes or no from you about the stuff that he's supposed to touch. And that when he jumps in, that I know that you'll go with him And so we just expect blessings. As Psalm 23 says, we expect your goodness and your mercy to chase him down, to hunt him down for the rest of his life. Amen. And so we just pronounce that onto him. God, for people in this room who are a little bit skittish about difficult relationships, they want their relationships to be safe and predictable, and they want to feel secure at all times, I ask for boldness and for truth to invade. For those people, because I want to have the kind of relationships that Proverbs talks about, where we're real with one another, and where growth happens, and where we shape one another to be the kind of people that we're supposed to be, that you have made us to be. So I thank you for this subject, and I certainly thank you for Titus being here with us. Amen. One thing before I let you go is that our August block of summer nights, it starts this week. So I'd love for you to be here this week. Bishop Michael Dantley and Christ Emmanuel Christian Fellowship will be here, and, be here with loose hips. You will probably be dancing in some way. All right. See you later.